Welcome to the Iron Self Podcast, where we jump into health, fitness, mindset, and becoming the best version of yourself. Today with your hosts, Mike and Kayla Minion. Hey guys, so we are talking rosebud thorns, and I believe we are going from, is it the end of March to April 13th?
March 30th, yeah.
Yeah, March 30th to April 13th. So we've got a 2-week span of rosebud thorns, and unfortunately we just can't always get to this every week. Schedule's a little bit hectic, but hopefully we are able to share some gold nuggets here today.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so we'll just start us off. Ashley wrote for April 3rd, Rose, what's going well? So food is finally a rose. I enjoyed my Easter, but was able to get right back on my calorie deficit despite having been out of routine, which is awesome. So what's coming along for her, the new workouts, this is an awkward phase of trying to learn them and figure out the form and how hard to push yourself. And that's always like the first week or so when we're starting a new workouts.
Yeah. I always say the first week to 2 weeks is kind of figuring out if you're lifting weights or using resistance, kind of what that resistance is going to be. Or if we're just doing body weight exercises, then it really is trying to figure out how to fire the muscles that we want to. And like, it's a really form focused couple weeks. Mm-hmm. So I love that. And it's true for everybody. Anytime we start new workouts, it always takes a little bit to get into them.
And Thorne, so what's a pain in her butt? She says nothing.
Ooh, Ashley.
That's pretty good. Girl. So things were crushing April 3rd. Michelle says on April 3rd, Rose, I'm not sure yet. So, you know, there's always a rose. And this is what I want you guys to start thinking about is what are the roses, the small wins in your life that you can really get behind?
Yeah. And I know when I spoke to Michelle this week, a rose that we could have used this week would have been getting back to butchering animals. As odd as that sounds for a lot of people, that is starting to get back into a routine of things that we know and things that we are very good at. So I'll consider that your rose this week.
Yeah. Okay. So Bud also says, I don't know. Weeks go by fast and I'm not sure what to put. Doing lots of yard cleaning up. It is spring, right? And
between three places, so that keeps her moving. Looking after her mom right now with a broken leg leaves her unable to get groceries and medical, etc. So trying to stay caught up. So sounds like your bud is really being able to
be there for other people.
Yeah, support the people in your life. So that's awesome. Good job.
Thorn, so what's a pain in her butt? Dealing with all the medical stuff and insurance and taxes. Hey, I feel you on the tax front. I feel that.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, when we have bigger things come up, medical stuff, when we're dealing with insurance, when we're dealing with all different aspects, it can definitely cause a little bit of stress. It causes that little bit of uncertainty as we're kind of working our way through that. And I know that's another thing that we did talk about this week. So just trying to stay as positive as we can when we're going through the things that we do not have direct control over. And again, it comes back to those circles of control and how we allow ourselves to show up when we do not have the control of a situation.
100%. Megan says, her rose, I'm eating way better this past week, having an easier time managing my binges. And in fact, I do know that she was even able to stop herself in her binges. So that was pretty amazing.
That's awesome.
But workouts are improving, feeling more confident at the gym. And Thorn broke my toe, hit it and bruised and swollen.
Yeah. There's not much we can do about your broken toe. Be more careful with those toes. No.
Yeah.
Love it.
Rose. Okay. So this is Christine. Christine says her rose feeling my,
feeding,
not feeling.
If you were feeling yourself good at lunch, I mean, that's a rose too. Feeding myself good at lunch. Also, workouts are the rose. So awesome job with that. But new workouts. I love when we get new workouts. That's always fun. And then Christine's thorn is so tired in the morning, need extra coffee for that extra boost. Mm.
So I know that her sleep is happening at a decent time. She's getting to bed at a decent time. The problem is that she's calving.
And so she's checking cows, she's up in the middle of the night. So there's lots of disturbances in the sleep rhythm. So at this point, it's kind of like, just make it through to the end of April, get through calving season, and I think we'll be good. Yeah. But you might need that extra coffee, boot that extra boost in the morning. Make sure you stay up on your water, keep fueling your body adequately. But there's nothing we can do to improve sleep at this point.
Yeah. And then when we look at overall energy levels and making sure that we're supporting ourselves well, exactly what Kayla was saying, making sure we're getting enough water, focusing on rest, focusing on our quality calories, lots of complex carbohydrates to help with those energy levels, are some of the best tactics we can use when, again, things are outside of our control. We, you know, we are calving, so that's not something we exactly get to control.
Mm-hmm. I'll let you read this one because apparently my reading is
all right. So Nicole said her rose is nutrition and exercise, which is awesome. Her bud is managing stress levels. So we're coming along with managing those stress levels. I love it. And Thorn is managing emotions, getting upset about things in the past and how they relate to the present. Ooh.
Yeah, that's a deep dive right there.
Yeah,
100%. So things in the past always relate to the present. Unfortunately, we are very much built around our past circumstances and how we react to things.
Mm-hmm.
So even though something might have been real in the past and maybe isn't real now, it can really affect the way in which we react to things. So being aware of, you know, how do I want to react? Do I want to react differently? And what are my triggers and how do I navigate those triggers?
Mm-hmm. And I think this might be something that we've talked about in the past, Nicole, and if I'm wrong, I apologize, but I'm just going to toss it out there too. Relationships are some of those fun things where, you know, we get to choose who we allow in our life. We get to choose the people we surround ourselves with. So, getting upset about things from the past and how they relate in the present can show up different for everybody. So when we look at who we surround ourselves with, what we allow in our circle, in our space, and then again, really focusing on how the people that we do allow into that space treat us, speak with us, speak to us, and if that's okay, right? Because again, at some point in our lives, maybe we were in a different space where we allowed people to treat us differently than we would like now. And realizing that as we grow, as we evolve, those relationships have to grow with us. And if they often don't grow with us, sometimes we do grow apart. I know Kayla and I have had a conversation fairly recently, and the synopsis of it was, you know, people come into our lives at certain times for a reason.
A season, or a lifetime.
Yeah. So again, not saying that anything needs to be drastically changed. I'm not saying, you know, cut people directly out of your life, but starting to pay attention to, those social cues and the fact that, you know, sometimes we do have people come in and leave our lives, and that's okay, right? Being able to release that if it's no longer serving us, can really be empowering.
Yeah. And the other thing to think about is that we don't have control over other people. The only person we have control over is ourselves. So I'm going to use my own situation in this circumstance, is that I always wanted my mother to be a certain way, to be a mom in a certain way to me. And it was never reciprocated in that way. And so I have a lot of very big emotions around that, and emotions around how I show up as a mom and as a parent and all of those kinds of things. So for me, I had to release some expectation around how I wanted that person to show up in my life versus how they show up in my life. And then when I was able to release my expectations around it and begin to shift how this person always shows up in my life in this way, this is how I'm willing to navigate that relationship and show up in that relationship, that completely changed everything. When I release the expectations, because my expectations might not be their expectations, right? And it's really hard to meet somebody's expectations when you don't even know what they are, or they, you know, they are creating them in the process. So beginning to be aware of what your expectations are, what you're placing value and worth on. And if that person's not meeting those expectations, or those people or those situations are not elevating your life, then reevaluating how you want to navigate those relationships, I think is really, really important. Even myself, like I've had to cut family members out of my life because I'm just not willing to take the bullshit anymore. I'm not willing to be treated and constantly put down by somebody who supposedly loves me and cares about me. So when we begin to place our own boundaries, our own, I'm going to keep using the word boundaries. When you begin to set your parameters for what you're willing to accept and how you're willing to be treated and all of those kinds of things, I think that it really does elevate your life. As much as there's that feeling of loss, I've lost that relationship or I've released that piece, there is also this empowering feeling of, no, I'm standing up for myself because I'm worth it and I have value.
Yeah. Turns into a piece of growth, right?
Yeah. And the people that are meant to be in your life will add worth and value to your life.
100%.
Go ahead.
I'm still reading. Okay.
Yeah, I can't read today.
Oh boy. Okay. So we got Bonnie next. Bonnie's Rose, being able to do dumbbell chest curls.
Yep.
Chest curls. Okay.
I don't know what a dumbbell chest curl is.
Neither do I.
I think she means press. It's a dumbbell.
Two sets of 12 of 25 felt like a breakthrough. Hoping to do all three rounds of 25 pounds next week. Atta girl. Dumbbell chest press, I would hope.
Yeah.
Her bud was able to increase the weight on my cable tricep extensions and do 10 reps each round. Awesome sauce. And the thorn tricep pushups continue to challenge me.
But we've been working on improving the form, and huge leaps and bounds. So bringing the shoulders over top of the fingertips has completely changed the way in which we do them.
Good.
And so it's just those little tiny minute tweaks where we think we've got it and then just elevating.
Now, are we doing these from toes, from knees? Where are we at?
We're doing both.
Okay.
So we're doing a compilation of both.
Okay.
First from toes and then from knees for whatever we can do.
Sounds good.
Go ahead.
Jen's,
I'm so used to reading.
Jen's Rose's her sleeping routine. Trying to wind down earlier. I feel that when I feel tired, I tend to eat poorly and unhealthy. Working on sleep patterns to help with my food choices. That's awesome. I feel that when I'm tired, I will reach for everything. So what's coming along for Jen? Tracking her food. It's not my best week for healthy food choices, and logging helps me visually see the not so healthy choices to adjust. It helps me recognize where I need to improve, increase protein. Love that. There's the awareness around it already. It's great. Yeah. Thorn, it says stress versus chocolate this week. I need better control to not buy it as often. It's dark chocolate, but only great in moderation. Food control was tough for me this week.
So I'm with you on the food control, meaning, well, like you said, I need to not buy it. That is honestly my trick. If I don't want to eat it, I do not buy it. Because anything you buy, whether it's for yourself or your children or a family member,
the intention is to eat.
The intention is that somebody is going to consume it. And if it's something that is a trigger for you and you know that, then the reality is you're probably going to be part of that somebody who consumes it, because the temptation is there and there's only so much willpower. And when we're really stressed out or we're overtired, there's lots of things that kind of go into this, that the ability to withdraw temptation is really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to put that off. And most people usually end up giving in some way, shape, or form.
Okay. And the other portion of this that I want to talk about, because when we talk about stress and stress eating specifically, starting to look at other options to deal with stress. So what other modalities do you have or that you could rely on to start helping alleviate those stress levels without resorting to food every time? Mm-hmm. Because again, reaching for dark chocolate when we have those stressful days, Well, we can't take away stressful days altogether. We live in a world where, you know, we all work, we all have a million responsibilities that come along with that and with family and with everything. So we can't 100% get rid of stress. So starting to look at different ways to help deal with that stress, whether it's, you know, moving that energy outside of your body with a walk, a jog, a bike ride, a workout, or maybe it is some meditation, or maybe it's journaling, or there's a million modalities for stress. Now, I'm going to toss this out there, Jen. If you're listening to this, feel free to reach out to us. We do have a lot of modules on ways to help with stress.
She's going through the stress module right now.
Absolutely perfect. So all I'm saying is starting to look at ways that we can help alleviate stress, or ways that we can react differently to the stresses in our lives rather than the ways that we always have, because it sounds like, and again, I'm never going to put a label on it and say, this is what you need to do, but it sounds like it's something that you're already thinking about because it is, you know, coming up in this rosebud thorn about how we want to make that change. So starting to lean into that and starting to come up with ideas and ways that we can start to work with that stress.
Yeah. The other thing to look at is what are our coping strategies? So these are the ways in which I cope with stress. And so what are the things that have served you in the past? And how do you want to maybe modify those things into the future? So I don't want to use the word change, because change is really hard, right? If you go from eating dark chocolate to now I don't eat dark chocolate, I just journal, that's a really big transition. So
you might find yourself journaling about dark chocolate.
Right? Salivating while you're journaling. So maybe that there's a smaller progression from this. Like, how do I want to cope differently? What do I want that to look like? So maybe I include chocolate in my life, meaning, you know, I'm going to make chocolate oatmeal for a snack or a meal or something like that. Or something else along those lines where I can still include that flavor profile, but it's not going to be the way in which I cope with stress, because we are creatures of habit. So if this is the way you've always done it, if you've always come home to have a glass of wine or you've smoked a joint or whatever it is in order to cope with your stress, the minute you get stressed out, the brain's first thought is, this is how I need to cope with this. So what is the small transition from that you can make in order to find new coping strategies that support you and elevate you and help you grow, rather than the ones that maybe are holding you back? And I'm not saying the chocolate is holding you back at all, but because you've put it in here as, this is my thorn with this, this is the only reason why I'm mentioning this. And this is for everybody to think about. What are the coping strategies that you use when things get tough? Right? Are you a venter? Are you I hold it all inside and then I explode? Like, how do you cope, and what does that look like? How has it served you in the past, and how would you like that to look in the future? Do you want it to look the same, different? Those kinds of things. Okay. Without going too much detail. All right. Now we're on to the April 10th. Rosebud Thorns.
So Michelle's this week was living life without being on someone else's schedule. I love that. Mm-hmm. Bud was movements. We're kicking ass with movement this week, and I absolutely love that. And thorn is how much movement I'm limited to, but I go as far and as long as I can anyways. So for anybody that doesn't know Michelle has limited mobility right now, and which is something that we are working through, and she's absolutely crushing. So I love that, you know, the focus is on the movement, the focus is on, you know, living on your schedule now and getting, you know, taking your power back in those moments. And then I know the thorn is, you know, that mindset of that limitation, but I know that we also have a goal, and we are focusing on 2 to 3 months from now, when we can start rebuilding. So I'm actually so excited to see those limitations start to fall away here soon. So I know it's a time thing, I know it's something that we're all waiting for, and I'm so excited for the day that those limitations start to fall away and we can start crushing that lower body.
I also want to think about too is the embracing of the limitation. So rather than thinking of it as a hindrance, thinking of it as an opportunity or a growth pattern. So this limitation maybe in my lower body right now is really allowing me to focus on my heart space, to allow me to build upper body strength, to really become clear in these other pieces of my life. Like I just want to bring this up because I was reading this article the other day about a gentleman who has no legs at all. And he completed his first marathon on a skateboard. He had like, I think like a stump or something. I don't know the right terminology. I'm sorry. But he had like a partial stump of a leg that of one leg. And he completed a marathon on a skateboard. And he's the first person to ever have done that. And I think about his limitations there, but not he never allowed them to stop him. So when you think about what are my limitations that I have, rather than thinking of them as something that's stopping or preventing you or holding you back, is like, how is this allowing me to grow forward? And what are the other opportunities in my life that elevate me, that build me up, and that I can contribute to? Just a different thought piece there.
Next is Christine's. The rose was it's Wednesday, so looking forward to the weekend. I get that. Bud was exercises this last week, and Thorn was weight.
Yeah, but when we think of Thorn, for her, she was talking about scale weight, and it was just because sometimes we feel like we're on more on track than maybe we are when it comes to tracking things. And there's extra bite, licks, tastes, and other things that are coming in that are necessarily preventing that scale from moving. So I don't like to put all of my focus on the scale, because the other piece here is that especially for a lot of females, we have a harder time losing that weight. And is there body composition changes that are taking place, right? I'll use myself as that example of, you know, I started spinning 15 times a week in the beginning of February. I didn't lose a single pound, but I can tell you that my body composition has changed. Right. So we might not be able to outwork our nutritional choices, but we can 100% begin to change that body composition and change the way our energy levels feel and all of that. And there is something beautiful about that.
Yeah. And I just want to toss this out there too. Nutrition is a hard thing. I know a lot of people struggle with this, myself included. And nutrition really is not an easy thing. So it's super easy to be off in tracking, because any food package you read can be out to lunch by up to 30%. So if you think about that, if you're having 100 grams of something, it could
100 calories
or 100 calories of something that could actually equate to either 70 calories or 130 calories on either side at any given time. So nutrition is one of those things where it really takes a lot of work and dedication to figure out. And then we could be doing everything right, but if that packaging happens to be out when we're tracking, then it's easy to struggle with it. So I want to just throw it out there that the nutrition side of the world can be a struggle. And there's lots of different ways to do it, but over time, learning how our bodies deal with calories, how our bodies are fueled best, and how our bodies feel best when we eat, is what really starts to matter as we get further into this process.
100%. Good. All right. Chris says, Rose, I was able to get right back on track with my nutrition and my workouts after 8 days in Mexico. Woo! Love that. But upper body strength hasn't been progressing as much as I would like, but after my power call with Kayla this afternoon, I understand why. And we've made a plan to help me increase my strength. Which we did. We got an awesome plan and a new workout. Thorn, I just got back to from vacation, had a short set at work, so everything's going good. No major thorns this week.
Sounds great. Love it. Can't Chris, wait. Back from Mexico and crushing it. Attaboy. All right. Ashley is our next one. So we have the rose was consistency with movement and workouts. That's awesome. Bud, form for new workouts. So starting to learn again, this is week two of those new workouts. So starting to learn those new movement patterns and kind of hone them in. That's awesome. And thorn for this week for Ash was eating. I've had some not so great days and they have led to some weight gain.
Well, and to be honest, it's only been temporary weight gain. So yeah.
So if we have more carbohydrates than we normally do, our body starts to store some fluid, right? Yeah. So we've talked about this before. Do you want to give this the science on, or you got this?
No, go ahead.
No, I don't want to. You're
for up. Every half cup of, for every gram of carbohydrates your body stores, we store a half cup of water. So there is this fluid balance that takes place when we overconsume sodium or other electrolytes in our body. This fluid balance has to maintain, and so the body will retain fluid in order to kind of level things out. It usually takes about 2 to 3 days to begin to flush that water weight. And there is also this piece of when am I weighing myself and what does that look like? I had a conversation with a client yesterday who was weighing themselves twice a day in the morning and in the afternoon. And well, of course, the afternoon number is always more. And I said, have you ever gone to the grocery store and carried a day's worth of food around in your arms? Like, it's freaking heavy. If you were to carry all the food that you eat in a day in your arms, it's heavy. It has weight. It has like girth to it. So if you're consuming it, just because you masticize it and you chew it up and you make it smaller into tinier pieces doesn't mean that it weighs less, right? Like, so we have to consider how much weight am I also consuming in order to balance out my body? How much water have I consumed? Have I pooped today? You know, am I on my period? Is there hormones involved in this? There's so much that comes into an actual scale weight. And I think that sometimes we put way too much focus on the number on the dang scale.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, just reading through this again, I don't know the whole context here, but saying I've had some not so great days that have led to some weight gain. Calories aren't really linear, right? So when we look at calories equated over a week, we look at the whole week. Like when Kayla and I do your reviews and we're talking about calories specifically, lots of times we just add up all 7 days, divide by seven, and it gives us an average for that week of where those calories are at. So when we say that we had a couple off days, well, lots of times those off days, if we go a little over on calories, are typically made up on the days where we're actually short on the calories too. So just starting to pay attention to the fact that calories are not linear. It really is that broader picture that gives us a good idea of where our calories actually are.
And the other piece is that there's some operator errors that take place. So when it comes to tracking, as much as we think that we are being as accurate as humanly possible with tracking, we're actually probably only about 70% correct most of the time. So, and whether that's be under calories or over calories, most people underestimate how much calories they're actually consuming, but that might be the opposite for some people. Some people overestimate as well. So just knowing that what we're looking for is progression over time of maintaining a calorie deficit. So I use the example a lot of the time with people who aren't tracking calories. What is one thing in your normal eating routine that you'd give up? Right? So, oh, well, I'm not willing to change my breakfast, my lunch, and my dinner, but I'm willing to not snack on this. Let's see how that goes. Because at the end of the day, we're creating a calorie deficit, and that's really what it's about. It's not about having the perfect macros, the perfect ratios. I mean, it can be when we get a little nitty gritty and we're going into some bodybuilding and like getting ready for shows and like things like that are a little bit different than what I'm going to consider general health and well-being.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's perfect. Good.
Moving on.
All right. We got Willow. Rose is surviving. Excellent. Bud is trying to log more food this week. That's awesome. And the thorn this week is I'm really stuck in my head and struggling with my overall journey right now. I'm not sure where my struggle is rooted exactly, but I'm feeling very discouraged.
I think we all have highs and lows.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's fair. That's part of it being a journey. If it was all high, then it wouldn't be much of a journey because you're not learning and growing and evolving. We learn, grow, and evolve when we're struggling.
I think one of the biggest things for a lot of people too, and I'm not saying this is specific to you, Willow, but when when people are looking for change in their lives, and they've been doing it for an extended period of time, lots of times we forget to celebrate the small wins, right? We focus on, you know, the big goal that we're going for or whatever that is, instead of focusing on all the small wins we have over time. So starting to kind of inventory those wins, right? Like thinking about the, you know, the first week you got 3 workouts in because your body felt strong enough to do those, or, you know, the first week that we started incorporating breakfast every day, or whatever that looks like for you. But those smaller wins throughout this journey really can help us stay motivated, can give us that little bit of fuel that says, yes, this is a long journey, but I've been doing this consistently and learning and growing for this entire span of time. And to say that you can't see the changes, when we start to break it down, those changes become very apparent. And even just the mindset shifts that come along with, you know, creating new habits and changing the way that we show up in this world, they can be very powerful to help re-motivate and encourage you to keep going.
There's also this piece about choosing our hard. So when I read this, it says, I'm struggling with my overall journey right now. Well, the first question I have with that is, what is your journey? What do you want it to be? Rather than thinking of it as I'm struggling, it's okay. And how am I navigating? What am I choosing as part of my journey? What am I nourishing my mind with? What am I watching on TV? Who am I surrounding myself with? And then you say, well, I'm not sure what my struggle is rooted in exactly. So that tells me that I'm getting in my own way.
Or like there is no destination, right? We're starting to feel like it's just that never-ending journey. There is no... there's no end to it.
Is there an end to this? What does this look like? And that's that piece of, and I know we've had that conversation, but I want to encourage other people to also think about this for their own journeys, is what do you want out of it at the end of the day? What does your life look like? Because as much as it's about, let's say, a physical journey of maybe weight loss or weight gain, or, you know, putting on strength or whatever that is, what does your life look like? And what do you want it to look like? You know, do you want it to look like I'm cooking these healthy, nourishing meals every day and I'm going to the gym on a regular basis or getting some form of physical activity on a regular basis? Or are you wanting it to go back to maybe how it was before, where I come home from work or at the end of the day and I just sit and watch TV all day, and maybe I'm just don't feel like cooking today, so I just throw chicken strips in the oven? Like, on a one-off situation, maybe that's a normal occurrence, but on an everyday situation, does that what you want your life to look like? And I'm not saying either is good or bad or indifferent. I'm just saying getting on really clear on your understanding of what you want your days to look like, because when you understand how you like your lifestyle to be, how you want it to be, then we can create a plan that is surrounding that moment, that blip of this is what I actually want. Because sometimes we look at, oh, well, I want to look like that movie star, or I want to be that person, but we don't understand the level of effort that it takes to do that, or the day-to-day pieces that come into that. So when we look at these other things that we say that we want, what am I willing to give up or change or evolve in order to have that? Mm-hmm. There's so much planning that goes into this. And I think that we think of it as this very cut and dry process. I'm going to lose 10 pounds or 20 pounds or 30 pounds and my life's just going to change and be different. And I'm all of a sudden going to find self-love and self-worth. But the reality is, if you don't do the hard work, if you don't do the planning and the uncovering and the looking at all of those little pieces in your life that have held you back or helped to form you into the person that you are, and everything along the way, then we don't maintain it long term, because you didn't change, you didn't grow. I mean, I watch people go for gastric bypass or take Ozempic or like do drastic diets, like the Bernstein diet, like these diets where we're dropping ourselves to next to no calories, or taking pills or whatever, or medicine, or stapling our stomach, or all these things, where it's not teaching us behavior modification. It's not teaching us to deal with our own shit. And when we start to sit in that place of, okay, I'm willing to tackle this and change the way I act or behave in these situations. I'm willing to, you know, really look at these pieces, these trauma pieces, even from my past that have really affected me in the way in which I show up in this world. When I begin to tackle those pieces, that's what longevity is. That's when we start to look at, I can maintain this on a long-term basis because I've created the habits and skills and environment that support that.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And again, choose your heart. I love that you said that right at the start, because life is hard regardless of which way we do it. We get to choose which hard we get to live though. Right. So yeah, love it. Good.
All right. Last one.
Last but not least, our roses, our self-image for Nicole. Hell yes. Absolutely love that. Bud is water intake, something we've been working on for a long time. And I'm excited to see that's your bud, because that means it's coming along. And then our thorn is stress levels. Not extreme, but still there.
I don't think that we ever really fully get rid of stress, especially as an entrepreneur.
I was about to say, especially as an entrepreneur in tax season. I'm sorry if taxes are your stress as well, Nicole, because I know you run your own show. No, but I love that you have the modalities to deal with your stress. You have your workouts, you have your breathing practice, you have your daily movement goals. You have all the things that you put that focus into to help alleviate those stresses and help create a healthier response to those stresses. So I know stress is one of those unpredictable things. Things come up in our lives, things change, stress shows up, but you are absolutely crushing it on the way.
The one thing to really consider when it comes to stress, and I know we can have coping strategies and mechanisms and all the things in place, but stress comes back to the way that you feel about it and the way that you think about it.
The way you view it.
Because stress is a feeling. It's not a state of being. Does that make sense? So, you know, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm emotional, whatever. Like those are these emotions are states of being. But, and same thing with joy, right? Joy is a state of being. But stress should not be a state of being. Stress, depression, anxiety, all these things often go hand in hand because they come back to our thought processes and the way in which we think and feel about something. So I want to have less stress in my life. How do I focus on the things that I control, that I can impact, and release the things that I do not have any control over and cannot impact when we look at our circles of control, and begin to reframe my thoughts around how I allow those things to show up in my life? Yeah. Right? Because the reality is that there's always going to be stress. And there was like this, there's this comedian. He's not a comedian. I think it was like a podcast I was listening to, life coaching kind of style. Anyways, he said something, that really, struck a chord with me when it came to your thought processes around things that you allow to agitate and bother you. And one of them was like, you know, you're like sitting in traffic and you're getting like agitated because there's bad drivers everywhere or whatever's happening. And he said, you know, making it into it, changing the state around what you're saying. So for example, you're driving in your car, somebody cuts you off, and like your first reaction is normally like to flip them off or whatever that might be. But what if you just changed it and you were like, oh, that guy's really got explosive diarrhea. He's got to find a bathroom quick, right? Like suddenly I kind of feel bad for the guy that cut me off because, you know, man, he might get it in his pants. I don't know. Right. Like but I know it sounds silly and ridiculous, but in that moment, I actually do this now. This is a thing that I do in my head when I'm driving and, you know, I'm having an emotion because it changes my state, because I had no control over him cutting me off, and that's his journey. If he wants to cut me off, and if he's got explosive diarrhea, I feel bad. Right.
So when she's cutting people off, she just puts a sign out the window that says, I have explosive diarrhea. Yeah,
exactly. It's like Roadrunner. Put up my sign. but the point of being is that in these moments where they're like little things that we're finding agitation around, how do we bring to a different state of being around it? Can we change it into comic or whatever? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether your story about it is true or false. It's about how you feel and how it makes you feel. So you can make it into whatever silly story you want, as long as it begins to change the energy that you're allowing it to affect within you.
Yeah, love it.
On that note, thank you guys so much for joining us for our Rosebud Thorns. My apologies for it being bi-weekly at this point. I would love to get back to weekly, and I think that it will slowly begin to unravel in that way. But so either we'll talk to you next week or we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Have a good day, guys.
Bye.